Well, what are we possibly going to talk about today? We've been doing a homily series for the last 4 weeks. I feel like, oh man, I don't even know what to talk about right now. Which brings up an interesting point. Quick review. Does anybody remember the four words that we've talked about for the last 4 weeks? I'm just going to ask for audience participation here for about 5 seconds. If you remember the four words, would you shout them out loud? Mystery, power, sacrifice. Communion. All right. Hey, right on. Good job. If you didn't know that, shame on you. Mystery, power, sacrifice, and communion. Did you walk into church a little bit differently this morning? It'd be something to think about. Did you notice something different about the building around you, or did you react a little bit differently to this morning's scriptures? Things to think about. Good things to think about, especially on the heels of today's gospel, which could not have been a better gospel to follow a homily series on the Mass. Because in this morning's gospel, we see the signs and wonders that Jesus gets up to. And we see that he does these signs and wonders, and he teaches with authority in a kind of a very striking way. He goes right to the heart of where his Jewish brothers and sisters worship God. And it's there that he begins to perform his prodigious works. In the gospel, it says that Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath in Capernaum, which, as we mentioned just before the readings, is the sort of like the home base of Jesus and his apostles. They did a lot of things. They hung out there a lot in Capernaum during his 3 years of ministry. And as Jesus begins his ministry, the first way, it seems here in the Gospels, that he becomes famous is by teaching with authority and by rebuking the unclean spirit. I've been very curious about this man with the unclean spirit and about the lesson that he might offer to us, especially as we now walk into the Sunday following a homily series on the Mass. It was the man who was in church on Sunday, so to speak, who was the one that had a demon cast forth from him. Do you think maybe even the apostles or Jesus himself would have known this person? And what's really fascinating about this is that it wasn't the man himself who recognized Jesus for who he was. It was the demon inside of the man who recognized who Jesus was. And it was the demon inside the man who said, "I know who you are. You come to destroy. You are the Holy One of God." So this is a real gospel message, a real gospel lesson about healing, and about healing in the life, especially of someone who is faithful, who is going to church on Sundays. An important question to be asked this morning is, how many of you here, I'll just ask this rhetorically, you don't need to answer me out loud, but answer this in your mind. How many of you here have something in your life that you want to be healed of? How many of us here in church today are experiencing a difficulty or a struggle of some kind that we want God to come into and relieve us of, some sort of burden that we no longer want to carry? Okay, now I'm going to ask for just one more piece of participation. I'd like everybody to raise your hand. Thank you very much. Okay, this is how many people need healing. Okay, you can put your hand down. You guys are very good to me. Thank you. Every single person in today's church needs to be healed. Every single one of you and me, we need to be healed of something in our life that's very concrete. And as I asked you that question, could you name it? Is there something in your life that you want to be healed of? Is there something in your life you need to be healed of? Could you name it? If you could not name it, you are the man in the synagogue who is a Sunday-going, Sabbath-going Jew who did not even perhaps know that he was coming to church with something inside of him that left him divided. You know, St. Paul says, my brothers and sisters, I should like you to be free of anxieties. Me too. And he uses words even of the marital covenant. I mean, he speaks, of course, in a bit of a literal way between what it means to be not married and what it means to be married. A little bit of an indication of an insight about vocation, for example, a vocation to marriage or vocation to a consecrated life to God. And St. Paul isn't trying to demonize marriage. That's not true. But we might even be able to take this teaching of St. Paul in a spiritual sense, not in a literal sense, but today in a spiritual sense, and ask ourselves, what are the things that we are married to that divide us? Because we all have it. And it's me too. And it's the reason why we can at the same time recognize such beauty in our life of faith, recognize such desire that we have for goodness in God, and yet kind of walk around burdened and unchanged and struggling. Because, for example, when we have this great moment of grace where God comes into our lives and says, you know, I just even want you to understand a little bit more about what happens here on Sundays. I have not received so many positive comments about any other thing that I've ever preached. Father Chaz said the same thing as the encouragement that we received in the last 4 weeks from what we were trying to open up for all of us a little bit about. So there has been an awesome pouring forth of God's grace in our church for the last month. And that grace is not to be without effect. And you and I also have to come to terms with the fact that it could be without effect. Not because we're bad people, but because you and I need to be healed. And the first way in which we respond to God's grace is by allowing God to heal us, which means we have to be able to name what needs to be healed. I'll tell you one thing in my life that needs to be healed. A little over a year ago, made one of the best decisions of my life. I probably have talked about this before. Made one of the best decisions of my adult life, and I got off of Facebook. Just left it. I said, it's time. It's not that Facebook's bad, but it was distracting me. And it actually took me about 2 or 3 years, because I'm a poor, unvirtuous man. It took me about 2 or 3 years to actually make the decision to get off of it. I'm a slow converter. I don't know if any of you else are around here, but that's me. I wish I could just have walked away from it, but I couldn't. Well, finally, a little over a year ago, I did. And one of the effects is that, well, I wasn't quite involved in 1,000 people's lives anymore, and all right, kind of got to give that one up, okay. But it was also quite freeing because it gave me an opportunity to fill my life with something that was not so distracting. You want to know what I filled my life with in place of that? The news. You think I would learn? So, what has happened in my life, one of the demons in my life, is the dang news. You see, God began to come into my heart and say, Brian, what divides you? What are you married to that distracts you and that keeps you from receiving my life-giving love? And for the most part, in most of our lives, those kind of marriages don't necessarily look all that grotesque like it might look in this painting by Duccio Buoninsegna, beautiful painting. But they're nonetheless there. And God kind of nudges us, and he keeps nudging us. And he'll nudge us for probably 2 or 3 years until we finally say, all right, I'm giving it over, and we do. But then what happens is there's a void that needs to be filled up with something. And it will be filled up with something. whether we have learned our lesson or not, and if we haven't learned our lesson, like me, we tend to find ourselves being filled with just something different instead of being filled with the love of God that wanted to enter into that space. And so instead of spending time on Facebook, I started spending my time on news websites. And it's the most horrible thing because you can't just go on a news website and look at one article. If I go on and I look at one, I have to look at 10. I just can't do it. I just don't have the virtue because it's just so enticing and you just want to know things. I want to know what's going on in the world. I don't want to be totally ignorant. But man, I'm quite weak in that area of my life. It's something that divides me. It's something that I walk into church with every Sunday. And can I name it? And if I can name it, thanks be to God. You know, this is that sort of well-known piece of wisdom. You know, the first step of healing is admission. The first way in which you and I are going to be healed is to admit that we need to be healed and to admit that we know what we need to be healed of. And so this is sort of a twofold lesson about healing, especially in the life of modern man. If this gospel wasn't meant for 21st century human beings, I don't know what gospel is, because Jesus himself provides the healing. And what does he say? In order to heal, quiet. Silence. Come out of him. You and I are married to things that divide our hearts, that help us to recognize the beauty and receive the grace, even of a wonderful teaching, even maybe a wonderful series of teachings. And yet, those seeds of grace, if they don't produce faith and divine life in our souls, if those things don't bear fruit, it's probably because we're tired. And we can't put forth the effort. And we're tired because we're divided. I'm tired because it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. But I'm also tired because I'm divided in my heart. And I'm divided in my heart because what tires me is noise, which is the plague, the bane of the existence of all of us, or most of us. If there's any of you here that live at least half of your life in silence on a daily basis, you're awesome, and we need to learn from you, and you just need to tell us what it is that you're doing. But if there's maybe one piece of homework for us today about how to engage this question, how to ask Jesus for healing, how to name what it is that I need to be healed of if I don't know that right now, silence. I'm going to go through my week today. I'm going to ask myself, how much of my day is filled with not silence? How many hours a week am I watching TV? How many hours a week am I on the radio? Am I on a computer? Am I on a cell phone? Am I on a Kindle? How many hours a week am I on gadgets? How many hours a week do I have things talking at me, or things that I'm taking in, things that I'm reading? It's probably too much, because it's too much for me as well. So if that's something in your life, it's one way in your life that you walk in with your demons on Sundays, well, welcome to my life. Welcome to the life of 95% of humanity, or maybe 99% of humanity. Jesus wants to heal you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you need to be healed? Do you believe that you want to be healed? Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? And do you know how Jesus will begin it? If you can answer those questions clearly, Jesus will give you that last question, that last answer, which is the answer that he gave in this very morning's reading. When you and I give ourselves the gift of silence, we will enter into the restlessness of that division. That division will manifest itself to us in one way or another. We'll either start thinking about whatever it is, we'll start getting unable to just kind of sit quietly. This is why one of the best things that you and I can ever do for our lives of faith is to just sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We have adoration, two of them here in Jackson. We have a church here that's open during the daytime hours at least, unlocked this door during the day. Give yourself the gift of silence this week and let God speak that healing into your heart.